Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
The Joy of Missing Out is a new book that considers the technologically focused life that many of us live, with its impact on our children and our relationships, our communities, our health, our work. And it suggests opportunities for those of us longing to cultivate a richer life on and offline. By examining the connected world through the lens of her own internet fast, Christina Crook is looking to create a case for increasing intentionality in our day-to-day lives. Again, the name of the book is The Joy of Missing Out, and we welcome Christina Crook to the program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Very nice to have you. Give us a sense of how your background brought you to ultimately think about this issue and to consciously say, I'm going to go on a fast of the internet for a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, my background is in communication and studying mass communication. So, you know, everything starting from speaking to one another through to where we are in terms of our handheld technologies. And I am a journalist by trade and a freelance writer, so definitely a profession that requires, at this point in particular, connectivity, you know, to the internet and being on pretty much all the time. And I was feeling like there were patterns developing in my life in terms of my email box, my social media feeds, really owning me as opposed to me having a handle on them. And so it took a number of months to come to the decision of stepping away, but I did step away entirely from the internet for 31 days to try to figure out what was going on.
All right. So what did you figure out?
Yeah. So one big thing was that, you know, the smartphone check-ins we make multiple times a day were not actually time savers. They are time suckers, you know, that all those little 5-minute, 10-minute, 20-minute check-ins on our phones, you know, in between things, really time that we could capture to do other things. So once I had that, you know, taken away or I'd given that up in my life, I realized, you know, there's the stack of books on my bedside table. I actually can start picking those up and working my way through that pile. You know, 31 days is quite a long time to click away on those things.
So can we focus on, let's just focus on that for a moment if we can, and then we can go on with some of the other, your other findings. Because, so I agree with you. I understand that because they don't, you think that, oh, this is going to save me time so I don't have to worry about it later. But at some point you have to address those, right? At some point you have to address the issues, assuming if it's job related, that at some point you have to address what is going on your inbox and that particular issue. So maybe we don't have to do it at our, you know, while we're waiting for our kids at the dentist, but we could, you know, then when do you do it?
Right. So maybe you have a quick scan through it and you notice that those things are there when you get back to your desk, you know, you whip through those emails and move on to other things. That might be one approach.
Okay. All right. So there are, it's not, but I guess my point is eventually you do have to address it. It's just when you address it. So carve out the time specifically for that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go on with your other findings and the list.
Yeah, no, well, yeah. So, I mean, for me, it came down to using the internet as a tool. You know, it is a tool there to connect us to information, to connect with other people, to use it for work. And for most of us, it's just become sort of, you know, we check our Instagram account on our phones because that's just what we do. We're not really, you know, thinking about what we're doing. We're just, you know, it's compulsive and really, you know, anything done that's done compulsively without thought is really an addiction. And so, you know, scanning through your email while your kids are in a class, that's fine. But yeah, you do need to actually tackle those emails and those messages eventually. And maybe it makes more sense to actually sit down and just get through those things in one space of one, you know, in one particular chunk of time. So for me, the two big takeaways from being away from the internet for that long were viewing the internet as a tool, especially coming back to it. You know, of course, I had to come back to it for work. And also, I wanted to come back to it for a number of reasons, you know, one of them being connecting to my family that's all over the world, you know, through Skype and FaceTime and email. But it was really viewing it as a tool. And the other big thing for me is just, you know, a couple of days into the fast, you know, it's a detox. So, you know, I was feeling the nervous twitches for the first couple of days. But quickly, I settled into this space that was just clear. I felt like my head was clear. I had this quietness of mind that I'd been hungering for a long time. And, you know, just as a person, but also as a writer, you know, that's an important space for me to dwell in terms of, you know, creativity and coming up with new ideas and really thinking things through. So time and space were two of the big things I discovered.
When you think about, obviously, the internet and social media are somewhat connected, but they're also separate. But you're really talking about any communication, of whether it be email, surfing the internet, using social media platforms, pretty much anything where you are online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and those things, each platform, you know, each of those tools are for different things. But for me, it's really asking the question, you know, why am I on this? For example, right now I'm trying to figure out, you know, do I want to adopt Instagram? You know, it seems like certain platforms are on their way out, and Instagram's sort of like the of-the-moment thing to be on. And I'm asking myself, you know, where is that time going to come from? Where is that energy and that creativity going to come from? It's not like we live in a vacuum and that, you know, our time and our energy is endless. It just isn't. It has to shift from somewhere else. And so, you know, all of these tools are available to us, but we simply cannot, you know, master them all. And we're told, most of us, particularly in the media industry, that we have to, you know, be on every platform, promoting on every platform. Well, we just simply don't have the energy to do any of that, you know, all of them well. And so for me, again, that comes back to the tool piece where, you know, which ones are we going to choose and which ones are we going to do well?
You use the word in the book, intentionality. Define it and talk a little bit about how this fits into the discussion.
Mm-hmm. You know, I touched on earlier that, you know, addiction by definition is something that we do compulsively without thought. Well, intentionality is the flip side of that, where we are intentionally choosing to do something. So, you know, there are times when I'm intentionally using social media, and there's times when I'm obviously not intentionally using social media because I've been on there for an hour and 15 minutes and, you know, I plan to go on there for 5 minutes to do a couple particular things. And I think intentionality is very key for our use of the internet. You know, it's an inducement. It's something that we want to be on all the time, and it's because those apps and those websites are designed to be addicting, period, right? They're designed to make money. So there's real-time updates on almost all of those sites and apps, and they're designed to keep us there for as long as possible. So if we're not approaching them with intentionality on purpose, then it's extremely easy to get caught up in them instead of, you know, moving on to other things.
When you started to do this, I'm curious, and you do write about this, of course, but how hard was it for you?
You know, it was easier. It was easier than coming back online and sort of reintegrating online and figuring out what I was going to do from here on in. Because when it's completely off the table, it's amazing how you just shift to other things. Like, I can't actually access the internet right now, so I am going to have to spend my time in other ways. You know, the first couple of days, like I mentioned before, were hard because, you know, the normal things I would do with the gaps in the day would probably be to pick up my iPhone to look at, you know, just look at a couple of things online. But I would say day three, day four, I was just off and I was connecting with my neighbors. I was chatting with people outside the schoolyard. I was moving more slowly home. I still had a lot to do because I've got kids and I had a lot of other things on the go, but I was moving a lot more slowly, and so those are some of the things that happened for me when I stepped offline.
You write in here, you go back, you talk about social etiquette. In fact, you even go back to 1888, I believe, looking at social etiquette. But I mean, these are rules that have been around for a long time that obviously still fit culturally and yet are sometimes hard to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some pretty funny ones in there, like you can't show your ankles to people. I mean, obviously we've moved forward a bit in that respect, but we have lost social etiquette as a culture. We have adopted as adults, teens, and children, you know, in basically one fell swoop, the handheld technology through tablets and smartphones in particular, and we're figuring it out. You know, we do very strange things, you know, where we would never in the past have, you know, watched a show or sat down and written a letter while we were sitting with friends or, you know, at a funeral or at any other social event. But we do these things on our phone and it seems normal. But, you know, if everyone's doing it, it seems normal. But if you step back and actually look at what you're doing, it seems a bit absurd, you know, to check out when you've actually planned to meet up with a person in person. So, yeah, I think we definitely need to be thinking through about what etiquettes we're going to adopt and nurture as a culture, especially because we're just on the cusp. We're about to, you know, move on to technologies that are wearable and, you know, beyond. So if we can't figure out how to, you know, put people first when we have our smartphones in our hands and, you know, soon they're going to be wearable, then we are going to have a problem on our hands. So I think social etiquette is very key.
You also address this, and I think it's an important point and a fascinating point, and that is of dealing with kids and teens on this issue, because what's fascinating about it is that we as parents and of a generation that did not start out with this technology in most cases, well, we're just trying to figure it out, right? We're still working on figuring it out. Whereas the kids are born into it, which gives us an opportunity to put much of this into place, but the timing of it is a little bit off because we still have to get our act together. Is that a fair assessment, do you think?
Yeah, I think that is a fair assessment. Absolutely. Yeah, we are, you know, parents and kids are adopting these technologies at the same time. It's not like, you know, when I was growing up and the television had been around for a while and, you know, my parents had clear boundaries on what that would look like. You know, it's tricky because these, you know, the smartphones, the tablets, they travel with us a lot of the time. And so the kids that are used to watching a show, you know, at home, they grab for it, et cetera. I mean, every parent is nodding their head in agreement. They know, you know, what I'm talking about. So yeah, we are learning all at once, and I think that's extremely tricky for parents. But the focus I take with my book, The Joy of Missing Out, is, you know, it's about creating the positive conditions where other engagements other than being online can thrive and flourish. So what I mean by that is, you know, as families, it's finding the things not only that our kids love to do and encouraging them and supporting them in participating in them, but also as families doing those things together. So I've got friends in Ottawa in Canada that every Sunday they go for a skate along the canal there. It's frozen over. And their kids are older and they're out for hours and they're not asking for tablets or screens while they're out there. They're just having an awesome time. And I think the more that we can as parents and, you know, as kids and teens, find more and more of the things that are really life-giving offline, then it won't be so, it won't draw for our attention quite as much.
The name of the book is The Joy of Missing Out, Finding Balance in a Wired World. The book is published by New Society. Christina Crook, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning, and best of luck in your work.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, The Joy of Missing Out. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.